Everyone, I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Get this, mental illnesses are medical conditions that disrupt a person's thinking, feeling, mood, ability to relate to others, and function on a daily basis. The illnesses are genetic, and other times they may be triggered by traumatic events. Although anyone can develop a mental health problem, medical experts say here in the United States, the black population sometimes experience more severe forms of mental illnesses due to unmet needs and other barriers. According to the Health and Human Services Office of Minority Health, African Americans are 20% more likely to experience serious mental health problems than the general population. The World Health Organization says mental health disorders account for more than 12% of all diseases in the world. WHO says 80% of people with mental and psychosocial disabilities live in developing countries. They have little to no access to any form of treatment or care, however. So we will discuss mental health on the program today. And joining me in the studio is Nathan Araya, or Nate, a television host, a filmmaker, digital storyteller, community leader, public speaker, and as he puts it, an unshakable optimist dedicated to improving lives around the world through many, many things, storytelling and everything. Nate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Lenore. It's a pleasure.
It's wonderful to have you. And also joining me via phone from Nigeria is Dr. Ore Gureje. Dr. Gureje is a professor and director of the WHO Center for Health and Training in Mental Health. And Dr. Gureje joins us from Nigeria. Dr. Gureje, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you. We will discuss mental health in a moment, but first, Lisa Schlein has this report.
Unsurprisingly, data from 177 countries find rich countries are doing better in caring for the mentally ill than our poor countries. But the more significant finding is most countries are not doing enough and not spending enough to tackle this huge and growing problem. The WHO Mental Health Atlas 2017 reveals a global shortage of trained mental health workers, especially in poor countries, which have an estimated 2 health workers per 100,000 people, compared with more than 70 workers in rich countries. It says the economic burden resulting from mental illness is huge. For example, a recent study shows the economic loss due to common mental disorders such as depression and anxiety can be as high as $1 trillion a year. WHO Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Program Manager Tarun Dua says people with mental illness suffer from stigma and are victims of human rights violations because of their condition. She tells VOA, too much emphasis is placed on institutional care for the mentally ill. She says governments must put their effort and money into strengthening community-based services.
And for two reasons. One, as you mentioned, the services in community are more cost-effective. Two, this is what people with mental health conditions want. Services that are closer to them rather than services that are in institutions. Third, the services when they are provided in institutions, we know that the human rights can be violated.
The World Health Organization reports governments in low and middle-income countries spend less than $1 per capita on mental health compared with high-income countries that spend more than $80. It says most of this money goes to mental hospitals, which serve a small proportion of those in need of care. WHO says investing in mental health makes good health and good economic sense. For example, it notes every dollar invested in treating depression and anxiety leads to a return of $4 in better health and productivity. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Dr. Gureje, let me start by saying your title again accurately, and I apologize earlier. Dr. Gureje is professor and director of the World Health Organization Center for Research and Training in Mental Health, Neurosciences, and Substance Abuse, Department of Psychiatry, University of Ibadan, Nigeria. Am I correct this time? All right. Thank you for your generosity when I butchered your title. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us again. And the issue of mental health is such a serious issue because I think for many reasons, one of them being that we don't talk enough about mental illness in the African community, in the Black community, as Nate did through his documentary. So could you give us a sense of the problem of mental illness in Africa in general, and you can make it specific to where you are, because I believe that we really have to understand the scope of mental illness among the African community.
Yes, thank you very much. The scope of mental health problems in Africa is not very different from the scope in many other parts of the country, of the world. In the sense that on average, you will expect at any point in time about maybe 1 in 10 or 2 in 10 people to have a mental health condition of significant level that require treatment. And about 3 or 4 will have had something in their lifetime by the time they reach the age of 7 to 5. So it's a very common problem. It is common, but it doesn't receive the attention that it deserves in terms of policy attention by government, in terms of budgetary allocation to provide service for those in need, and in terms of awareness by the general public or the community. Just such as people become generally aware of physical illnesses and do not have a significant level of stigma towards those conditions. But for mental health conditions, there are significant barriers, one of which is the level of stigma that permeates the community right through from the common person on the street to policymakers. So this constitutes added burden for those with mental health conditions.
So many issues indeed to address with regards to mental health. Now, Nate, let me come to you. You are a filmmaker, among other things. I read your many titles. But one of your latest projects is the documentary Growing Up in America that you produced. It's a series. And the first episode is focusing on mental illness. Now, what prompted you to turn your lenses on mental health for the very first episode of this docuseries?
Well, I'm a first-generation Ethiopian-American, so my community is very diverse, full of refugees, immigrants, first-generationers, as well as Black community, Black American community in America. So the idea was to be able to create a series focused on mental health that kind of showcases different stigmas that exist and ways that people that can be able to overcome it. So we did it through storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of created a gateway into an event series called State of Mind that we're touring with around the nation.
And we'll talk more about it. And then definitely a good way to start a conversation within the community.
Right.
Yeah. So now let's take a listen of a short excerpt of your documentary and we'll come back and talk more.
This is My America. I'm Nathan Araya. As a first-generation Ethiopian-American filmmaker, my passion for traveling and storytelling has led me to better understand the identity, culture, history of myself and others. Today, I'm visiting a local barbershop in Austin, Texas to better understand the views of mental health from the minds of young game changers, artists, and professionals.
I feel like the internet is like both the best thing that's ever happened and like the worst thing that's ever happened. Everybody's life seems perfect and they know what they're doing and Forbes 30 under 30 and you're looking at yourself like I'm 28.
Just imagine, like, you know when you go to sleep, you have a bad nightmare and you wake up and you have that feeling? Just imagine that every day. And that's what Afghanistan was.
It's weird. borders, you only see the extremes of stuff nowadays. You either see somebody with the perfect family or you see Kanye.
And actually, Dr. Ore, we just heard this excerpt from Nate, and Nate, I'll come back to you. But I wanted you to react to something, which is, I find very disturbing. When I was looking at the statistic, it seems like mental illness is not, it is a global problem. We understand that. But when we look at the issue in America, it is a very, very prominent issue in the Black American community, not because it doesn't affect other communities, but one of the issues is the fact access to care, access to proper expertise, where people actually talking about it, finding the care. Talk to us about how this link up to what you are seeing in Africa in terms of the fact that awareness even, like people don't even talk about it.
Well, yes, there's a lot of stigma attached to mental disorder. There is also a lot of misplaced belief about the causation. And so people often believe in supernatural causes of those conditions. And that, of course, has implications for how the people who are affected are treated. If people believe, for example, that those who are affected are in some way deserving of the condition or have done something to make them to deserve the condition, to be afflicted with mental disorder, that's, of course, is going to reinforce the stigma that they experience. Mm-hmm. Especially the more severe forms of mental illness, these are the ones that are much more likely to leads to alienation, stigmatization, victimization, and really very profound levels of abuse, both in the community and in many of the treatment settings, which are often based in complementary provider places, traditional healing places, mm-hmm. Safe healing houses. And some of the healers there, of course, also share some of these ideas about the basis for the illness, and so you can then understand why sometimes the patients are inflicted with the forms of punishment, and sometimes as a way of trying to drive away the evil spirit that may be the cause of their illness, and clarification, and all sorts of practices. That may, in fact, be the precursor for other conditions, especially infective conditions as well.
Mm. So there is a problem. The issue itself as a medical condition, but also the misbeliefs and all the cultural components that come given where we are on the continent, some of the misbeliefs. So that's definitely an issue. Now, Nate, let me come to you. When you were producing your documentary in the Black community immigrant, what were some of the common issues that you came across in terms of mental illnesses when you were talking to people? What were some problems that they were seeing a lot in this community? Would it be depression? Would it be suicide? What did you come across?
Yeah, I came across a lot of different types of mental health challenges. So mm-hmm. with refugees, you have the migrant experience that is very tough because you have a certain level of PTSD that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. kind of coming from war and, and issues that are happening in the homeland, and you're coming into a new country and you're trying to be able to adjust and adapt. So that carries its own, dynamics.
Yes.
And then you have the immigrant experience. You have first generationers, like myself, that deal with stress, anxiety, there's depression. So it's kind of all over the place. But what I think I've noticed is that, with people that are in underrepresented communities, minority communities, we don't really talk about it as much. We don't really have access to the resources and information about it. So it's very difficult because we have a lot of these suppressed issues and illnesses that we just don't know how to address or yes. articulate. Yes. So the goal with this film and this event series is to be able to elevate the conversation of mental health, mm-hmm. alleviate the fear that exists around mental health care. Believe it or not, even within mental health care in America, there is a stigma that exists mm-hmm. because the mental health care has a history of, pretty much presenting racism and just different things that have been harsh to the Black communities in America. So Black communities in America have grown pretty hesitant of like reaching out just because of the abuse that they've seen, the injustice.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of issues that they're holding inside. And now we're in a place where it's suppressed. We're trying to deal with it on our own. But the goal is to know that you're not alone.
Mm.
So the idea now is how can we educate and inform people from all different walks of life, especially minority and underrepresented communities, on yes. ways they can tackle this effectively.
Okay. And Dr. Gurueje, when it comes to the continent, what are some of the most common forms of mental illnesses that you come across? I remember growing up in Ivory Coast, we will see people on the some people sometime on the street, or you go to other African countries, you see people on the street, they look like they are mad. And it used to be that notion that people with mental illnesses are on the street and they look like mad people. But it comes in so many forms. What do you see?
Well, the most common forms of mental illness, say depression and anxiety disorders, in community setting and also in general healthcare settings. So that's not dissimilar from what you find in every.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now when we look at solutions, okay, what is the first step? Because when we look at the statistics, in some countries there are maybe only 10 psychiatrists for the entire country, or, you know, you don't have that many expertise. Where do we start when we look at addressing this problem on the continent? Dr. Gurueje, are you there? Okay, I think we're having a little technical problem with Dr. Gurueje. We are going to take a short break and go to the news. And when we come back, we'll have more on our discussion on mental illness. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Tam with the news.
Thank you, Lenore. A new Lancet Commission report on mental health released recently says mental disorders are on the rise in every country in the world and will cost the global economy $16 trillion by 2030. The report says the economic cost is primarily due to early onset of mental illness and lost productivity. The Lancet Commission on Global Mental Health and Sustainable Development brought together 28 global experts in psychiatry, public health, neuroscience, and advocacy, as well as people with firsthand experience of mental health conditions. The authors say mental health is often neglected and underfunded, even though nearly 2 billion people suffer from mental illness every year. The report recommends that mental health be reframed as a fundamental human right and that the definition be expanded to promote mental well-being, prevent mental health problems, and enable recovery from mental disorders. Breast cancer survivors may be more likely to experience anxiety, depression, sleep troubles, and other mental health issues than women who have not been diagnosed with the disease. That's according to a new research review. The study team examined data from 60 previously published studies of women who had survived breast cancer that focused on a variety of psychological issues as well as challenges with cognitive and sexual function 1 year or more after treatment. The current analysis, published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, says, among other findings, up to 1 in 5 breast cancer survivors had anxiety in studies that looked for this diagnosis in electronic health records, while as many as half of them had anxiety in studies that assessed anxiety by giving women questionnaires about anxiety symptoms. According to a new study, climate change left its fingerprints on some of the biggest climate extremes of 2017. These include drought in the United States and East Africa, floods in Peru and Bangladesh, heat waves in Europe and China, and even unusual cloudiness in Japan. 17 studies from 10 countries make up the report, which the American Meteorological Society has been publishing annually since 2011. They tease apart the factors that led to each extreme event and estimate the extent to which climate change contributed. The report was released at the fall meeting of the American Geophysical Union in Washington, D.C. It comes as United Nations climate negotiators are meeting in Poland. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
And that was Bonsa Tufa with the news. Welcome back. If you're just joining us tonight, we are discussing mental health with my guest, Nathan Araya, television host, filmmaker, digital storyteller, community leader, and a public speaker, and Dr. Oye Gureje. He's a professor and director of the World Health Organization Center for Research and Training in Mental Health, Neurosciences, and Substance Abuse, Department of Psychiatry, University of Ibadan, Nigeria. So, Nathan, let me come to you. I was asking earlier Dr. Oye Gureje about solutions, although we lost him, but we hope to have him back soon.
Right.
What, you are doing your part, at least trying to do your part as a filmmaker around this documentary. Talk to us about some of these activities that you are planning or you are already doing around it.
Right. So the idea is to be able to normalize like mental health within underrepresented communities. So with the film Grown Up in America, the first episode is on mental health. So what we're doing is we're doing an event series with the film. Mm-hmm. We're taking it around the nation. The first event that we had, it was in Austin, Texas, and we partnered with the mayor of Austin, Steve Adler, as well as local researchers and therapists of color. And then from there, we opened up into a town hall discussion so that individuals in the community can be able to be a little more specific about issues and challenges that they're existing. Now, with this event series, we're also offering resources. So that's the exciting part. This past event in Austin, we gave away 1 hour free therapy session with 30 free minute consultations to therapists, and then as well as just resource sharing. So we're giving handouts or, you know, for the community, and our goal ultimately is to minimize the barrier that exists between underrepresented communities and the healthcare system. So that's kind of where we've been with this event series, and it's been amazing kind of seeing where it's going. We're going to do LA and hopefully DC at the top of next year.
Mm-hmm. Now, very quickly, you said normalize. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that, very briefly?
Well, the idea to know that, you know, what you're dealing with is something that many are dealing with as well.
Okay.
So the idea that to normalize mental health care is important. We have to, you know, whenever we have physical hurts or a broken bone, we can go to the doctor, we can get a checkup, right?
Yes, with very easily. We don't even think twice, right?
We don't think twice, but with mental health, since it's not as visible, you know, it's not very normalized, you know, so we kind of, we're in our own heads. We don't know how to articulate what we're feeling or get it addressed. So that's the issues.
Okay, good point. Dr. Gureje, we're glad to have you back. So I was asking you about solutions and where do we move forward in terms of some of the first steps. What do we do when we try to address mental illness in your part of the world? Because there are so many different challenges that you touched on. What is your suggestion?
Yeah, there are a few things that we need to do. The first, of course, is for government to pay more attention, for government to develop policies and plans that they are committed to implementing, for government to pay more attention in terms of budgetary allocation to training and provision of service. At the service level, you have in the introductory remark that was made, made reference to the very crass human resources for mental health care in this part of the world. In fact, in Nigeria, we have about 200 psychiatrists to a population of almost 200 million. That's about one psychiatrist to a million people.
Wow.
So it is very clear that the provision of service for the teeming section of the population in need of care cannot rest entirely on specialists for the foreseeable future. So we need to do what is called task shifting or task sharing. We need to train and skill up primary care providers who have actually been shown to be trainable and that they can deliver effective treatment for a range of mental health conditions. We need to be able to do this on a wide scale and scale it up And that, of course, requires government assistance in terms of training, in terms of capacity building, in terms of provision of medication for people to use. And then we need to do a whole range of activities to enlighten the public about mental health, that mental illness is just like any other illness, it's just like any other condition, any other health condition. Mm-hmm. And that people should have a more accepting attitude to people who are affected by mental disorders. And that's going to really be a major relief for those who are affected, because stigma will constitute a big burden, an additional burden to people who have mental disorder, to the extent that, in fact, after people will have been treated and they have recovered.
Okay, I think Dr. Gureja, are you there? Okay, I think we lost him. All right, and I was going to ask him specifically about depression and anxiety, because there's a wide variety, as we mentioned, but these are two conditions that he spoke about as being the most common, and I think you also mentioned that. I don't know if in your research, I know you spoke to medical experts. What are some of the telltale signs that they told you? If you are, we want to also raise awareness and tell listeners, listen, if you have this sign, you have to think about it. Maybe you should start looking into seeing a doctor, seeing a professional. Maybe these are telltale signs of mental illness. Do you remember, or what information did you get from the experts you talked to in terms of some of the telltale signs when it comes to depression and anxiety?
Yeah, so you know, there are ways that we can be able to better handle what we're feeling and what we're experiencing, mm-hmm. instead of just suppressing it. So, for example, if anyone is feeling, you know, kind of down, you know, we all have bad days, but you know, if it's for an extended amount of period of time, within a week or 2 weeks, you may want to be able to go see a doctor. You know, so anything that you're kind of seeing, you know, within a change in your behavior, a change in your attitude, and also reaching out to a friend, because sometimes your friends can give you an objective perspective, you know, that's safe. It's people that you trust always is good to reach out to first, you know, to kind of, you know, ask certain questions. You know, do you see a change in how I'm interacting? Do you see a change of, you know, me not really being myself, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, and listen to your close friends and the people that love you. You know, it's important to reach out to people that you trust first in order for you to better understand yourself, because sometimes we can get in our own head and not fully understand the different things that are affecting us. We just feel like we can kind of plow through life and just make things happen. But just like anything in this world, you know, we have to get checkups. We have to be able to better understand how our mind works and be more self-aware about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so those...
I think there is also the what, just one example, right?
Right.
Most people who have a full-time job will spend at least 5 days a week at work. And then you have the cases of people who hate their job.
Right.
Right. So 5 days a week, you spend 8 hours somewhere that you really don't like.
Right.
Now, how does the effect of that environment translate into your natural mood, as opposed to looking into anxiety and depression? Okay, I'm not happy because not me particularly, but somebody will say they're not happy because they hate their job. They're there 5 days a week. So 5 days a week, they're not happy. So at what point do you start thinking, okay, that might be depression, anxiety? You know, I wish Dr. Gureja was here to answer this question, because I think it's something that we really have to, you know, really differentiate. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have any comments in this regard, but talk to us about how people can find out about your film and, you know, how to reach out to you.
Yeah. So The Grown Up in America is a documentary series. It's called Grown Up in America, and our first episode is called Mental Health is Wealth. Mm-hmm. Now, this episode, we're doing screenings in different locations around the nation. So we did it in Austin, and now we're going to go to LA, DC, and a couple other locations, top of 2019 year.
Okay.
So we're excited about that. If you want to get more information, go to natearaya.com/growingupinamerica, and you can find it there.
Nate, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Oregureje, who was joining us from Nigeria. We lost him, but we appreciate his time. And Nate Araya, who is a filmmaker. Thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us every week on Health Chat. We appreciate your time. And I thank producer Des McConan, Bonsa Tufa with the news, and our engineer, Peter Hanley. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca. U.S. President Donald Trump today proclaimed the country